There are increasing calls today for the U.S. government to release some classified parts of a report that may shed light on some new accusations that tie Saudi Arabia's royal family to the 9/11 attacks. A convicted al-Qaeda operative serving life in prison in Colorado is claiming in court documents filed this week that members of Saudi Arabia's royal family helped fund hijackers in the run-up to the 9/11 attack. Saudi Arabia is denying that, calling the operative, Zacharias Moussaoui, a deranged criminal. This deposition is part of a lawsuit filed by families of 9/11 victims who have accused Saudi Arabia of providing material support to al-Qaeda. Peter Bergen is CNN national security analyst, a fellow at the New America. He joins us now from Washington. And Peter, remind us first who Zacharias Moussaoui is. It's been a while. He's known as the 20th hijacker.
He's known as the 20th hijacker, but actually that's a sort of a misnomer that actually kind of explains a little bit about him that is useful for this conversation. He was really sort of somebody in al-Qaeda that was supposed to be in the second wave of attacks on the United States. He wasn't part of the main plot. And as you may recall, he was attending a flight school in Minnesota in the summer of 2001 when he was arrested.
Right.
Anyway, so, you know, the claims that he's making are that he was receiving, he was meeting with senior members of the Saudi royal family. He was entering into some kind of log, the fact that they were paying money to al-Qaeda. None of this passes any kind of common sense test. He's saying this all happened in the late 90s. Well, the Saudis had basically expelled bin Laden from Saudi Arabia in 1990 because his main goal at the time was the overthrow of the Saudi royal family. So it's inexplicable why the Saudi royal family would be paying al-Qaeda at the same time that they were trying. This was a group whose main goal was their overthrow. It doesn't make any sense. Zacharias Moussaoui does have a history of sort of psychological problems, and I don't put any credence in the claims he's making.
So what about these claims then? If you think they're not credible, obviously some of the 9/11 families disagree. They are giving these credence.
Well, I mean, look, this is a lawsuit, and this is what lawyers do, right? They find people who can substantiate their side of a lawsuit. But, you know, and I'm not saying that there is no grounds at all to say, look, somebody in Saudi Arabia may have been supporting al-Qaeda at some point, but you know, this is not the right way to go about this. This is not the right witness. What the claims he's making, the people he's identifying, Prince Turki al-Faisal, who was U.S. ambassador to the Saudi ambassador to the United States, he's saying is one of the principal kind of funders of al-Qaeda, is just complete nonsense. Prince Turki al-Faisal went to prep school in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. He's a highly liberal, secular, he's not the person who'd be funding al-Qaeda, and it doesn't pass any kind of common sense test.
Well, wouldn't we know a bit more if this report were declassified, and do you think it should be?
Yeah, I think it definitely should be, partly because it's the mystery around it. In fact, the Saudi embassy has also interestingly said it should be declassified. We don't know what's in it, but the fact that it's sort of not been entered in the public domain is problematic because, you know, then we just only speculate what's in it. If it's, you know, and apparently there's a lot of people in Congress who'd like it declassified, it should be declassified. And then we can see if there's anything really serious here or if there's anything to follow up on.
How do you think this all affects the relationship with Saudi Arabia? And as we know, the longtime king recently passed away. There's new leadership there. But it's a very important relationship for the U.S., one that has come under a lot of criticism recently. How does this add into that?
I don't think it really makes a big difference. I mean, look, go to the gas pump and see, look at the gas price. You know, for most Americans, that's a rather critical number. And the fact is, the Saudis, if they cut back their oil production, which they're not doing, could substantially raise oil prices, and since they sit on the largest oil reserves in the world, and they have the highest production, they can effectively set prices, and then setting prices in a way that is very advantageous to the U.S. economy.
Peter Bergen, before I let you go, I just want to ask you about some news today that Jordan, after the death of this Jordanian pilot who was burned alive by ISIS, has gone back and hit ISIS targets in Syria along with the United States. What do you make of that, their response there?
Well, I mean, their response is, I mean, it's an interesting case where the government said that we were going to really respond in a big way, and they've executed two al-Qaeda recruits, and they've taken action, and they have for a relatively small Arab country, they have a fairly substantial number of F-16s, and, you know, they're taking action. It's obviously a huge political issue in in Jordan, and the level of outrage and revulsion and fury is very high there.
Peter Bergen, CNN national security analyst and a fellow at New America, thank you for joining us.